on the other side of the Pacific is our overseas correspondent on the line from Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam, Lien Huang. Kia ora, Lien. Welcome back tonight.
Hi, thanks. It's good to hear your voice again.
Oh, it's nice to hear yours too. And now, we have just been running a documentary from the BBC about plastics, about a precious plastic, which is a recycling, a kind of a recycling thing. Now, you wrote a story the other day, in fact, it might have been today, actually, you published today, about a plastic offset scheme. How does that work?
Yes, it just happened to come out today. And so the story is about plastic offsets, which are similar to carbon offsets. Maybe people would be more familiar with those, which involve people or companies basically paying a fee to offset the carbon dioxide that they emit. And that fee is supposed to go toward preserving forests, although it's unclear that that really happens. Which was a new program in Vietnam last year. But the story I did today was about a similar program for plastic offsets, which means you or I or a company could pay for this business to pick up plastic off of the beaches to offset that the plastic we're currently using.
Because there's nothing that naturally absorbs plastic that I know of, apart from humans being able to tidy it up, right?
Generally, yes. And so I wanted to do this story because this program is new in Vietnam, but also just to talk about the bigger plastic problem, because this idea of offsets, it's kind of new. And so it's a bit small compared to all of the other kinds of actions people and companies think they need to take. And so some of the people I talked to for this article did talk about the alternatives. Like you were saying, cleanup, of course, is important. But also I talked to a company that produces biodegradable plastic, which, to be honest, I don't even know how that would work. But that's a lot of their business. It's just producing plastic that we would use in many of our everyday products, except apparently it can decompose, unlike the traditional stuff.
I was looking at your article, and one thing that struck me is you got some awful problems with plastic waste on some of your beaches by the looks of things.
Yeah, and it's important to write about this from Vietnam because it's in the top five countries that send plastic into the ocean. But I don't think that it's fair to blame these five countries, which are all in Asia. It may be New Zealand waste. It may be Canadian-American waste that is imported into Vietnam or Malaysia or China and then does get leaked out into the ocean. And so there are a lot of people to blame here. But that's why it's important to find out what people are doing out in Vietnam and the region about this.
Yeah.
And one thing I talked about in the article is this issue of greenwashing. I don't know if that's a popular term.
Oh,
yet.
Yeah. We know about it in New Zealand. In fact, what you're saying, we've done stuff on the night's show about New Zealand exporting plastic, supposedly for recycling plastic to Indonesia. Ends up not being recycled at all or ends up almost overflowing, making a huge mess in a village where they're supposed to do some plastic recycling. And so I'm guessing that Vietnam is in a similar spot where you receive a lot of exports from Western countries and you're supposedly recycling it, but maybe you don't.
Yes, exactly. So there are two parts of this problem. One is this term I heard recently called wish cycling, which means we're putting a lot of things out in the trash or to be recycled that we think or wish could be recycled, but actually really can't.
Yeah.
And yes, the other is that all these years we thought that our goods were being recycled or at least taken care of. And a study I quoted in the article looked at all the plastic we've consumed for, I think, 50 years, and 91% of it did not get recycled. So it's still out there or it's been burned. And so I think there's a lot more skepticism these days about what's really happening with our plastic. And I think people are starting to face up to the harder question, which is, are we willing to make any sacrifices? Or do we just want to keep recycling because that'll let us keep consuming?
How does the offset scheme work?
There's this small company in Vietnam called Ton to Ton, and they charge other companies a fee. I forget what it costs, but basically their clients calculate how much they want to offset of their own plastic use. And then Ton to Ton takes that money, goes out to the beaches of Vietnam and pays trash pickers to collect that low-value plastic that can't be recycled, and they collect an equivalent amount to what their clients were consuming, and that plastic gets picked up and shipped off to a cement factory, actually, to be burned as fuel.
Okay, so it doesn't end up in the landfill, but goes to a cement factory. Right, okay. Let's set aside the fact that concrete is enough. The making of cement is a rather serious form of source of greenhouse gases. Let's just burning the plastic. Right. Now, what about the toxic fumes from burning the plastic?
I think that's an issue as well. I don't know the science of it. It's slightly different from just burning it. It's something I wasn't familiar with before called pyrolysis. But it does replace coal, which is the company's argument for using plastic as maybe less carbon emitting. But they say as well that this is not ideal, and in the future we hope to find a better use for this plastic.
I mean, what else could be done with it? Do you know?
I'm not sure. A lot of it does get reused. So recycling is slightly different, right? Like if we take our bottles and turn them into second or third generation bottles, as opposed to reusing the plastic, spinning it into clothes or shoes, that's one potential use as well. But again, this takes a lot of resource to collect all the materials and turn them into a new product we can consume. And so that can't be the only solution to getting rid of all this waste.
Who's actually taking advantage of this scheme at the moment?
Who's taking advantage?
Of a service, this new plastic offset service.
Right. There's Adidas using some of it for their shoes. And there are a number of multinational consumer product kinds of companies, plus one, for example, is called Green Chef. You know, they deliver meal kits to your house. They have paid for some of these companies in Southeast Asia to offset the waste that they use for delivery packaging.
So Ton to Ton, is it actually offering a service not just to the people, producers of plastic in Vietnam, but it's saying anywhere in the world, you tell us how much plastic you're producing and give us a fee and we'll go and remove that equivalent from the beaches in Vietnam?
That's right, but it's not just them. There are a handful of programs, not many, but still some. But the World Wildlife Foundation recommends that these programs be local. So it's better for a company in Vietnam or around Southeast Asia to be paying for the offsets also within their neighborhood.
Is there any effort being made to make packaging that uses natural fibers? Because I'm thinking that, and I remember seeing this in the Pacific Islands, pandanus was a plant which uses a fiber which you can use to make baskets and bags. And when you finished using those, like you just put them aside and they decomposed back into the soil again, but they've been replaced by plastic bags and plastic packaging. I'm guessing that maybe in Vietnam too, you probably used to make a lot of your packaging material from the materials you found in the environment around you, growing in the environment around you.
Right. The past and present are both really interesting when you ask about this question. In the past, people did package their food, for example, in banana leaves more often. And so they would, eat their lunch and then just throw the banana leaves on the side of the road and it'd be fine. And when they moved to plastic to replace those banana leaves, they didn't really think about the fact that when they throw that plastic on the ground, it doesn't quite respond the same way. And so that's part of the problem here in the region. And the second interesting aspect of this, I think, is I do like seeing all the new alternatives that are coming up every week. It's kind of a game to see at the cafes or supermarkets what I'm seeing people use instead of plastic. So what you would expect, bamboo straws, or straws are the big one, right? So bamboo or rice paper, or actual paper. There are quite a lot of alternatives popping up.
Now, I've only got time for one other story, and I'm sorry about that, Leanne, but I am intrigued by this. Now, I know that H&M, which is a large retailing chain, has got into a little bit of a fight with China over saying we're not sure about some of the cotton that we're sourcing from China, and maybe it's using forced Uyghur labor, and that's led to boycotts. And Vietnam's involved as well, boycotting H&M.
Yes, the way I put it was, I wonder if H&M was jumping out of the frying pan into the fire, because the protests in China or boycotts are probably better known because of the Xinjiang cotton issue you mentioned. And so to alleviate those consumer worries or anger in China, H&M has been in talks with authorities, and it looks like they issued a map of the region in response to a request from a government agency. And of course, the map included a couple of island chains that are claimed by Vietnam as well in the South China Sea. And
Oh
so
no.
once Vietnamese got wind of that, of course, it exploded on social media, and you see a little boycott here as well.
So
But
you're upset that they've
I
ascribed to China islands which Vietnam reckons is Vietnam's.
well, I'm not upset, but some Vietnamese consumers are, and I can see how they're in a tough spot. They don't want to say some territory belongs to China. They don't want to say it belongs to Vietnam either. They would rather just be out of this whole debate altogether. But this is what's happening lately. Companies are being drawn into political debates.
Leanne, it's always lovely to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us again.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Leanne Huang, our overseas correspondent on the line from Vietnam.